love running, or maybe you're thinking about starting to run, whether it's for exercise, recreation, or maybe you're just getting ready for your first 5 or 10K, join Sean, Jason, and Steven, three average guys who talk about the sport they love here on the Average Runner Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Average Runner Podcast. My name is Sean.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Steven.
And since the last time we recorded, we've got a lot of stuff that just happened this past month. Between the three of us, we have a boat ton of miles racked up, as well as some pretty big achievements all around. Some good stuff that happened. Steven accomplished his first 50 miler that we've been talking about, so we're going to get into that. Jason and I, we did a half marathon. I had a 5K. We got some PRs to talk about, but we'll get to that in a few seconds. Guys, anything new? Steven, you know, one thing I wanted to make sure that we actually pointed out, and it's not necessarily running related, but it's your son's vlog. I felt like everyone should go check it out, because we know you make a lot of videos. You've put some on our YouTube channel, but your son Chandler has been doing a video vlog. So why don't you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, he graduates high school tomorrow, actually the 13th of May. So he decided to start a vlog, basically documenting the transition from high school to college, because he leaves to go to University of Southern Florida in a month. Go Bulls! Hey, so yeah, it's not every day, but maybe every other day he'll upload a new one. But I'll tell you what, I know I'm his dad, so. You know, I know anything he does is going to look good to me, but the kid's got some sick editing skills. So, yeah, I've been really proud of how it's turning out. And I think a lot of other people have enjoyed it too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I told you the other night, you know, you put it on Facebook, you know, check it out. So, you know, I said, it's Steven's son. I'm going to go check it out. And I told you, I got a hold of you and I was like, look, man, I could have easily just, you know, hit like and been like, right. Okay, it's this kid's stuff.
But been polite. And
yeah. But I mean, he does have some talent. You got to check it out. It's not just him sitting in front of the computer going, this is my, what happened today. Like he's got editing in it. He's got voiceover, really great production. He narrates it. Like it's a documentary basically. And that's what he's doing, is documenting his, like you said, his transition, but his work is, it is really sharp. It's really good. He's definitely,
yeah, got
talent.
I go back and look at my videos and I'm like, eh. <You
know>? Well, I wasn't going to say nothing, but
yeah, that's true, man.
Is he going to school for video in some way?
Well, kind of. Right now he's going for mass communication, digital marketing, so that's going to be part of it. Although, you know how college is, man. He might be into, you know, rock and roll and pot smoking in 2 months. Yeah. So who knows?
Well, we hope not.
But he is going to Costa Rica for a couple weeks, though, as a study abroad, so I think he'll enjoy that.
And he started running recently, didn't he?
Yeah, about 5-6 months ago, man. And he was looking trim. I mean, I bet he probably lost 40 pounds, maybe a little more. Actually, he's stealing my blue jeans now, because he was in 34 and I'm in 29, 30s, you know, depending on how much I eat after a race. And yeah, he's stealing my jeans now. So
that's great. I know you mentioned that he's looking to maybe do a half marathon before he goes to school.
Yeah, he was like, Dad, let's find a half to do. So it's kind of hard, because the spring race season's kind of winding down here.
Yeah, well, but it's just starting here. I mean, I did find something for you. And as a matter of fact, it's probably on your way to Florida, too.
That's true. Just a little detour.
Yeah.
Take that left at Albuquerque. And
I think they said there's about 300 empty slots for the Buffalo half. Oh, wow. So.
Huh.
Well,
that's only what?
We'll definitely put some. I'll put links to that in the show notes, and even maybe put one of the vlogs on the post on the website. But you gotta check it out. I mean, I wanted to bring attention to it, because, like I said, it's not that it was just Steven's son doing it. He really does look like he's got some talent when it comes to storytelling and just the video editing and everything is great. And one last question: is he using one of the cameras that you got, or has he got a different one? Well,
he's got a couple different ones. He's got one of the GoPro knockoffs like I have, exactly like mine. And then he has a nice Canon that he uses as well.
All right. I was just
so he uses both.
Yeah, I was just curious if it was the same one that you and I have for
yeah,
for
one of them is.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Jason, how about you? Got anything new since last time or any new good website finds?
No, I haven't been on the search lately for that. I will say, though, I am subtly in the market for some new shoes just to rotate another pair into the training.
Right.
I really haven't set my mind on any particular kind yet. It's kind of popped in my head, like, you know what, I'm going to start looking for some stuff. So kind of, you know, if I'm out in the stores or whatever, I just kind of stop and just take a look at what's out there. And so I'm kind of getting my feet wet into that.
How many miles do you have on those ProVision? Do you know offhand or not?
You know what? I mean, I have it set to notify me when I hit, I think, 250 or something.
Right.
So it's definitely under that. I haven't checked lately what it is.
Well, that's all right. I mean, I figured you were probably around there maybe because you did get them a while ago.
I got to be getting close. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. New shoes, rotate them around.
I tell you what I would like. I'd like to get a new freaking watch, one that'll actually sync to my freaking phone.
Yeah, well, that or even just a new firmware update to the watch that is compatible with Marshmallow for Android. That's the big
right.
problem, you know? I mean,
and every 3 to 5 days, the watch gets an update anyway.
Really?
Like I almost feel like every time I plug it in the computer, it downloads an update.
And it's still not compatible.
Except it's not compatible. Yeah, I keep looking.
That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if we talked about it I think we might have mentioned it last episode a little bit, but you were having a lot of issues after your runs getting your TomTom to send the information to your phone on Strava. You'd have to manually hook the watch up to your PC and do it. And it's kind of a pain in the butt, you know. The other way
it's a pain, especially when you're somewhere where you want to see those results
right
now, then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you want to look at the split times and stuff like that. So, well, hey, Father's Day is right around the corner, so.
Yeah.
Lots of good deals out there on Garmin now.
If Terry asks me, I'll put in a good word.
Oh, yeah. my miles, actually, now that you mentioned the miles on my shoes are 267. So where was my notification? Come on, Strava, what are you doing?
It's with your software update for your watch.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hopefully you get a new pair of shoes and maybe you'll get a new watch.
No, I can't run. I got to cancel the Buffalo Marathon. I can't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not on Strava. You didn't do any training.
Yeah. Know. Darn.
Yeah. Blame it on Strava, huh?
Guys, I got to withdraw. Strava has screwed me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, the only thing I have, it's kind of a big thing, is I got a new podcast going. I love podcasting. I love running. So a couple of my friends, the Zahn brothers, Bill and Glenn, that I've mentioned numerous times on the show, they've been bouncing around an idea of doing a show. And I talk with these guys like almost every day, practically a lot of running talk. And so at one point we were just like, well, why don't we just turn this into a podcast? Like we kind of joked about maybe even just using the Voxer messages, you know, but you know, we threw the ideas around a lot. So I'm doing another show besides this one. I'm doing started the podcast, the Negative Splits podcast. We just got on iTunes today, just got the email. So that's always a fun email to get when you hit iTunes. 'Cause that's like, that's the thing that most people look right for is on iTunes. So, the Negative Splits podcast, it's different than the format here. You know, this show, when I originally got the idea and approached Jason and then you, Steven, to come on, the idea with this show was more or less to be, you know, a lot of people talk about having a running journal, you know, write it in a book or whatever, and, or make a spreadsheet. And that's not me. So the idea of this show is to be that, but an audio version of what we're, you know, approaching on as far as a race or what we're doing for training, how things are going, stuff like that. More of an update of how the past month has been. And with the Negative Splits, it's a little more, I guess you could say, maybe topic focused, maybe a little more nerdy in depth into things that we may talk about here, really kind of dig into it over there. So, but, you know, we just got our first episode out. The Curious Case of the Green Finger Paint is the name of the episode. I'll have a link for the website for that. So definitely check out the Negative Splits podcast. I'm pretty excited about it. So it's nice to have another podcast going right now. But anyways, let's get into this 50 miler that we've been talking about for the past few months.
A little walk in the park.
Yeah, a little walk in the park, you know, 10 miles, 15 miles, 50 miles. Not that big a deal. Again, what was the name of this 50 miler?
It was the Frisco Railroad Run in Willard, Missouri, and they have the race consisted of an 8K, a half marathon, 50K, 50 miler.
Was there a lot of people there?
I guess the total was around 500.
That's for all of them, all the distances?
That was for all of them, but the 50 milers, 50K people, we started really early.
Oh, okay. I would have to imagine that was a little thinner than the other distances.
Yeah, and then the others started like an hour afterwards. So by the time we were leaving, the other people were just starting to show up. So I think I caught up to a couple of the back of the pack marathoners towards the end, but
attaboy.
Other than that, didn't see him.
Yeah. So going into this, you know, what was your original plan for a finish time? Like, what was your original goal? Kind of, if things kind of went the way you wanted them to, if things started going good, what was your original goal?
Yeah, I think time? I even said a couple episodes ago that if everything went perfect, I was looking for a 9-hour finish.
9-hour. What define perfect? What does that mean by like you're perfect?
Obviously good weather, the right mental attitude, no stomach issues, no aches and pains. You know, everything just clicked right.
Yeah,
that's what I meant by perfect.
Right. Well, let's kind of get into it and see if you did have the perfect conditions for that race day. You know, leading into this, we touched on it last episode. You and I talked about it a lot. How are you feeling going into this? Because you had some injuries towards the end, and I don't know, maybe you can kind of touch on it, if it was maybe overtraining or just, you know, maybe lack of sleep or what it was. But you had some injuries going into this thing.
Well, I had I just call it a hip injury. It was the gluteus medius muscle, but it's right there on the hip, so we'll just call it the hip injury. And I think it was a combination of overtraining. Like I said, I think I got a little ambitious with my training plan. I was doing more the top end rather than the bottom end, and I think a lack of sleep. You know, having older kids, it has the advantages of I don't have to worry about getting my runs in.
You know,
hey, I'll be back in 5 hours. The disadvantage is they're older teenagers. They want to go out with their friends on the weekend and stuff. And, you know, I mean, your parents, if your kids are out, you're not sleeping. You know, I mean, if they're at a friend's house day and night, that's one thing. If they're out on the town an hour away,
you're worried.
You don't ever fall asleep. You know, your eyes are shut, but every little noise wakes you up. And, you know, obviously you can't say, no, you can't go out. I got to run tomorrow. So like I said, pushing it too hard is really what did it. You know, I ran marathons back on, you know, two weekends. I ran over marathon distances training. So that definitely put me over the edge. So in a way, and I think I even mentioned this to you on Voxer, that might have been a blessing in disguise, you know, because it forced me to take, I'll call it an extended break, but I think it was 3 or 4 days. I just didn't run at all. And I think that actually helped. I think if I would have kept running, even if I didn't have that injury, I might have been just worn out come race time. Yeah. So I'm counting it as a blessing in disguise.
Well, I mean, the way you were training too, I think 3 days, to some may seem like that's not an extended break, but yeah. You know, with the training you were doing, that's an extended break.
Oh, and I was getting horrible taper pains. I mean, they were horrible.
Yeah. I could imagine. Was there any point where you considered maybe you might have to, were you able to defer this thing or no?
Yeah, that is the
or downgrade
this race. Well, that is the great thing about this race. It's put on by the Ozark Mountain Ridge Runners, just excellent running club. And this is definitely a race by runners for runners. I mean, one, the entry fees are very reasonable. You can defer a year, you know, for the next year if you need to. You can drop down if you drop down during the race, you wouldn't be eligible for any awards, you know, age group or anything like that, which is fair. And if for some reason you just can't run the race and you can't defer, you can transfer your bib. You just let them know I'm giving it to Joe Blow, and they sign the waiver, and you're good to go. So it's an excellent race, and there's not too many like it.
No, there's not. A lot of times there's problems with, you know, maybe deferring. You have a certain date you have to do it by, or you got to pay a fee. I believe the Buffalo Marathon, you have to pay a fee if you want to defer to the following year. So not only did you spend your $100 or whatever, now you got to pay, you know, $30, $40, $50 just to defer it to the following year, which it's kind of, I don't know. I don't agree with that. And I don't know if you even can sign a bib over. So that, yeah, things, races out by you, though, seem to be a little more relaxed than they are out this way.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got the big ones, you know, like you got St. Louis Marathon and Bass Pro and like Dogwood Canyon. I mean, it's one, that race sells out in about 2 or 3 days. And yeah, they don't let you transfer. You can't defer. So it seems the ones put on by the local running club are the really good ones. You know, those are the ones that understand runners' issues,
right,
and do their best to accommodate.
So when you went into – so going into this, you decided, all right, I'm gonna take the time off. Took the time off. You felt a lot better. I remember talking to you. Mm-hmm. I was nervous as heck for you, man. You know, I'd give you a Vox, see how you're doing. And, you know, always – that's one thing. You always stay real positive too. I'm a complete baby if I'm sore or if I think something's wrong. Right. You know, and I'll apologize because I'll be like, I stubbed my toe and it's this big ordeal and I really think I broke it, but you know, I'm crying the blues where you're just like, yeah, I broke my toe. Yeah. You know, I'm going to run.
I'm not quite that mellow, but
it's pretty close. But, so you decided going in, did you feel trained? Like, did you feel adequately trained for this?
You know, that I was actually thinking about that because I thought you might ask me that. And like when I went into my very first marathon a year ago, a little over a year ago in St. Louis, I felt ready. I mean, I felt I was in the best shape of my life. Okay. But I didn't feel, I don't know if this is going to make sense. I didn't feel that much better going into this, if that makes sense. You know, I didn't feel twice as in shape as I did going into the marathon, but I felt pretty good. I mean, I was, you know, I'd mentioned that, you know, every time I'd run a new distance before, whether it'd been my first half, my first marathon, my first 50K, I knew that unless just disaster struck, I was going to finish.
Right.
You know, maybe not make the time and all that, but I was going to finish. And I'll say up until maybe the week before this race, I honestly didn't know if I would finish, you know, because by the time I ran my first half marathon, I'd already run 10 or 11 miles. It's just a little bit more. By the time I went to my first marathon, I'd run a couple 20s. It's just a little bit more. But going in this 50, yeah, I had run a couple marathons.
Right, but you didn't.
But it's still a lot more. It's, you got to do it again.
Yeah, it's not like you ran a couple 48 milers and you're like, what's two more? Yeah,
exactly. So I wasn't sure. But once I got to the starting line, I was, you know, usually when I get to it, I usually don't get real hyped up at the race at the beginning. I just kind of, I'm usually like, I get to the starting line, I'm like, okay, are we racing this or are we just fun running it? Because I don't know how I'm going to feel that morning, you know? I mean, that's what I did. I tell you, the thing that had me the most nervous was the week before the race, the weather reports were going crazy. I mean, on Tuesday, the weather was saying severe thunderstorms, you know, Dorothy's coming through and everything. And they even sent out an email saying, we will cancel or delay the race if this happens. So it's crap, you know? So I'm like actually looking at Ultra sign up. Are there any 50s close by in the next week or two, you know, just in case, you know, you don't want to waste the training. And I'll say by Thursday, they had downgraded it, not thunderstorms, it was just going to rain all day. And I was like, well, I enjoyed running in the rain for 9, 10, 11 hours.
It can be a little excessive. You know, yeah, I know what you mean.
Excessive,
yeah.
But okay, I'll just do what I got to do. And come race day, it was perfect.
Well, there's check one for the perfect day, right?
Yeah.
So we got that out of the way. How about sleep leading up? Did you sleep at all the night before?
Not too much, but not because I couldn't. I ended up staying at a friend's house in Springfield, so I only needed to drive about 20 minutes to the race rather than an hour and 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Looking back, I probably should have just stayed home. I don't sleep well other places.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I still had to get up like at 2. I'm on thyroid medication, so I had to take that and wait an hour before I could eat. You know, so then I ate, and you know, you wanted to have a couple hours for things to digest and drive out there. So yeah, I laid down maybe 9:30. I might have got maybe 3 hours of sleep. But I slept really good that whole week before. Yeah. I mean, went to bed really early.
Well, and you know, that's one of the things that you always hear a lot of times too, like before your marathon or any race, it's 2 nights before is when you want to make sure you get a solid night's sleep, because generally the night,
and that's exactly what
I did. Generally the night before, you're not going to sleep for whatever reason, because your nerves or, you know, or in your situation, maybe if you're traveling or something, I'm the same way. I can't sleep for crap if I'm not in my own bed.
Yes. I mean, I think if I was home, I could have slept, but I mean, it was nice not having to drive an hour and 20 minutes to the race.
Yeah.
Just, you know, drive a little outside the city and I was there, but it worked out.
All right. Well, this wasn't a trail race though, right?
It's rails to trails, so no, it wasn't technical at all, and it was flat for our area. And by that, I'd have to check on my Garmin back on Strava. It was like right at or just under 1,000 feet of elevation for the whole thing, so it was very flat for the area.
For Jason and I, that's like, you know.
But you know what? Over 50 miles, that's flat. You know, that's nothing. Yeah. So yeah, it was. Yeah, and the trail, you know, it's rails to trails. It was mostly crushed limestone. The first and last 2 miles, you were on paved trail, but the rest of it was just crushed limestone.
How is that to run on?
Very nice to run
on. Is it?
Like when I did that 50K, it was on a rails to trails, but there was a good portion where it was like large rocks. And, you know, your feet were just sliding. You couldn't grip and everything. This is just all nice crushed limestone. I will say a lot of the trail past, I'll say maybe the 15-mile mark, a lot of it was flooded because we did have rain all week. So you had to dodge around. You know, you didn't want to get your feet soaking wet. So you had to dodge around it. But I mean, that was no big deal, but added some distance to the whole race.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine if you're doing 50-mile, if you're running, you know, even a marathon, I would probably try to avoid getting my feet soaked. If I could, you know,
if you can help it, if you can't help it, you just deal with it.
Right. Yeah.
You could help it. You could go around it.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I mean, after 50 miles, it's good. I would imagine, especially if your feet were wet, your feet are going to look like, you know, mincemeat by the end of that.
Right.
You know, but as far as, you know, you talked about drop bags last time too, like what kind of gear did you use? Did you prepare to utilize the aid stations or?
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as my drop bag, and like I said, the weather report was all over the place. And even Friday night, they were still calling for some rain, but maybe more light showers. So I didn't know what was going to happen. So I tried to pack my drop bag for as many scenarios as I could think of. You know, in fact, it wasn't, I was going to keep my little rain jacket with me when I started. And then I found it wasn't going to rain in the morning. So I put it in my drop bag and, you know, I had a complete change of clothes, change of shoes, you know, some extra nutrition stuff I like, extra tailwind, you know, pretty much everything I could think of, a blister kit, and all sealed up in Ziploc bags in the drop bag.
Right.
So had I known exactly what the weather was going to be, I would have packed it lighter, but I didn't know, so I just wanted everything there.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter anyways. I mean, you're just putting it on the bus, right, and they drop it off for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's just going through. Oh, and tip for everyone. I bought a new drop bag before the race, and I went to – it wasn't the Salvation Army, but it was another thrift store, local one. And they had a I don't know what was in it. It says Panasonic on the front. It was like some professional movie-grade camera. You guys can't see what I'm doing with my hands, but – and it's just perfect. It's the perfect drop bag, and I think I paid $6 for it. So
yeah,
go to your thrift store if you need a good drop bag.
I got a picture of that when you got home too. You were super
– Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you were pretty psyched about that.
Yeah, it worked perfect. I mean, just perfect. And it's kind of insulated too, so if you wanted to put some cold drinks, it might keep them at least cool.
Right.
But anyways, that's just a quick
tip. All right, so this is an out and back, right?
Yes, out and back.
So gun starts, you get moving. Originally, we talked, and you had even talked about it on the podcast, that your training program – you were to implement run walks. You had to force yourself to get into the habit of right. run walks to, you know, I guess conserve your energy, not running out the whole time. Was that still the right. game plan going in?
That was still the game plan. I had adjusted it towards the end where I was going to run 20 minutes, walk 5 minutes. And even set my watch to alert me and all that stuff.
For the back half, right?
Well, I was going to do it the entire race.
Okay.
That was the original plan.
Okay, so you know what? Let me just back up a little bit, because there's a question I wanted to ask you prior to that, and then we'll go back to that. Shoes. We had a conversation. You got a hold of me, and
we had a plan.
You're like, okay, brother, I need your advice. I got my Hoka Bondies, right?
Uh-huh.
My
Skechers Go Run Ultras.
Your Skechers. And so I thought, you know, use the Skechers at first and then put the Hokas in the drop bag so that you have that cushion for the back half coming back in when your feet might be a little more sore. What'd you start off with?
Started off with the Hokas.
Okay. So the plan that you agreed to, you threw it out the
window. Yeah, I didn't do that either. It was just one of those – well, I'll tell you what started it is I was packing my drop bag and I was tired. And like I said, I was putting everything in Ziploc bags or waterproofing. And it was – I went to get my shoes and I grabbed the Go Run Ultras, the Skechers, and I put them in a waterproof bag, zipped them up, tied them up, put them in the drop bag and went, oh, crap. I wanted this to be opposite. You know, right. I wanted the Hokas in there. So I was like, well, all right, I'll change when I get to my friend's house Friday night. And I never did. So I woke up in the morning. I was like, well, I'll just wear my Hokas. I ran a 50K in them.
Yeah, it's so typical Steven. Well, you know.
I'll just run. Man. If I need to change, I'll just change.
Know, I got the Bondies. And, you know, am I going to race this thing or is it going to be a fun run walk? We'll see when I get there.
So,
dude, I would be so neurotic about it. That'd be the first thing I did when I got to my buddy's house. Like, dude, I got to change my shoes.
So, yeah. So, you know, I knew I could run. I ran the 50K in the Bondi. So I'm like, well, okay. I mean, I can do the first half in these. And if I need to change. And I was actually still kind of planning on changing. And there's a reason I didn't. When I got to the halfway point, the whole trail was flooded out maybe 100 yards before that last aid station. And if you're on the trail, you could see they could only put the aid station where it was. I mean, one, they had to be at the halfway, but just how the trail is, they couldn't put anywhere else. So you were going through water. You could not go around it. Now, my Hokas, they sit up taller. They don't wick in moisture, I guess, as quick as the Skechers do. And when they do get wet, they dry out faster.
All right.
So I got through the puddle. And I mean, it wasn't super deep, but you were going through it. And I got through it, and no water got in my shoe.
Huh.
So I'm like, you know what? That cinched it. I'm like, I've got to go back through it. And I know if I put those Skechers on, they're getting wet. You know, and there's a good chance I can get back through it with the Hokas. And my feet will still be dry. And they were still comfortable. I mean, they hadn't you know, broken down or anything. Right. So I was like, I was going to change socks, but I thought if I did get wet, I want dry socks. I put a pair of socks in my pocket for another aid station later on.
Well, I actually heard from you at the turnaround, but
yeah.
I wanted to go back to you start the run. You had the game plan of doing a run walk.
Right.
Did you stick to that?
Nope. Not in the first half. No. It was the plan all along, and we start off running. And I'm sure other runners are like me. The first 2 miles always suck for me. You know, you're waiting for your body to loosen right. up. So, you just kind of sledge through them. And I would say I was behind this couple because you're kind of packed in on those first 2 miles. You're on that paved trail. And plus all of us 50K and 50 miles going out. So I'm behind this couple and they're just chatting and she breaks off at the 8K turnaround and he keeps running. I'm right behind him and it couldn't have been 10, 15 minutes later. We're chit chatting. Dude named Brian, really cool dude, mustache running club out of Arkansas. Cool people. But, we just start chatting and yeah, I guess he'd run a couple 100-milers before and some 100Ks, but he'd never run a 50-miler. He goes, yeah, I went right from marathon to 100K. So this is his first 50-mile too. And, we just got to shooting the breeze, but you're talking about everything. And, I was telling him about my run walk plan. He goes, well, on most ultras, you walk the hills, run the flats and the downs. He goes, on these flat ones, he goes, I just walk when I feel like walking and run when I feel like running. So I was like, all right. So, we just were chit chatting away. And then other people, I'm definitely hooked on ultras because, I know we're kind of jumping around a little bit, but I know myself personally, I might have looked at my watch 4 times the whole dang race. I think he looked at his once and other people that came up. People were coming to pass us and they would hear us talking and having fun and slow down to join the conversation. Right. So it's just that type of chill atmosphere. So anyways, to make the long story short, we ran to the halfway point. Granted, we stopped at aid stations and we just blow through them. But we ran the whole thing.
Right. So, if you were by yourself, you may have stuck.
If it was just me, I probably would have done the run walk.
Right. But maybe talking with him, not only it helps. I know how that is to be on a long run, having someone there, it takes your mind off. It makes the miles tick by pretty quick. But also made you realize that, okay, maybe I should take this thing by feel a little bit more. And
yeah, exactly. And then at the halfway mark, I said, really cool dude, but I think we were, it was 4.5 hours later. We were both kind of ready just to go out on our own a little bit, and he's like, you heading out. I said, I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to, Vox my buddy and check on my kids. He's like, all right, well, if you're okay, I'm going to take off, man. I'm like, yeah, go for it. So he took off and I took a couple more minutes there and off I went again.
Well, and that's when I heard from you and you were in great spirits at that point. You had told me that's when you told me I've been running the whole time. You said you had met somebody and you were chit chatting and everything. Yeah. So by that point, you're great. First half goes well, right? No mental games at that point.
Mental was never an issue. The only thing it was right around mile 23. I've always battled a little bit of plantar fasciitis in my left foot, and mainly because our roads are so cambered here that I'm just always pounding that one foot. So it's always been there, not debilitating, just there. And mile 23, it really started hurting. Not enough to make me stop or anything, but it was
noticeable,
really hurting. Yeah, really noticeable. So I got to the aid station. I did take 2 ibuprofen there just because it was starting to bother me. And after that, it was pretty much fine. I didn't really notice it the rest of the race. But that was the only little glitch coming in.
Yeah, you did mention that as well, that your foot was bothering you. But I knew at that point, I'm like, he's going to take it home. He's at the halfway point.
Well, that's it. That's kind of what's nice about the out and back is – you get halfway there, you got to get back to your car.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I guess someone would drive you back from an aid station, but, you know, unless you're on the ground in the fetal position, you're going to get up and go. So.
Yeah.
But that was the only real major, not even major, but just owie during the race.
So now leaving out of there, you're by yourself?
Yes.
What's the game plan at that point?
Well, I put my headphones in at that point because, like I said, it was, you know, flat rails trail, so you could listen to tunes. Just started off again. I think I did. I'm trying to think exactly. I did do a run walk, but I'm starting to think exactly when I started it. I think I ran for a couple miles after that. I got to an aid station, and one other thing: if you run these rails to trails or crushed limestone, buy some gaiters. I didn't buy any, and I wish I had.
Getting little stones in your shoes.
Yeah, So finally, I got to the next aid station. I'm like, okay, I've got, you know, whatever, 28 miles of dust and debris getting in my shoes, and I want to change socks. So I did stop at the next one, take my shoes off, dump all the dirt out, switch socks, threw the old ones in my pack, and off I went again. But yeah, the gaiters definitely would help. And then I started doing the run walk, and I actually kind of got it down to where I would run the 20 minutes, and then right as the 5 minute was hitting on my watch, I was hitting an aid station. You know, and I was pretty much making that within a minute or so on each one. So I really wasn't walking that much. I get to the aid station, get a drink, get something to eat or whatever, head out and maybe have to walk another minute, then start running. Because they were about 2.5 miles apart.
All right.
So I was kind of getting that down pretty on cue, and I want to say it was probably mile, I don't know, 40 right before it, probably a little bit before it, so maybe mile 35, 36. I was really feeling good. I mean, I just started running. You know, in fact, at one point, I was like mile 45 or something. I looked down, and I was running a sub-9-minute mile. And I'm like, you need to slow down, dude. You know, you need to slow down because you cannot keep this up. Good thing I did. But, yeah, I felt really good. The only thing that really got me is I didn't think about having to jump around all those puddles and what kind of distance that was adding. And by that time of the day, your mind's kind of a little woo, yeah. Woo, woo. So if I would have been thinking when I hit the pavement again, I should have known I've got 2 more miles. But I'm hitting the pavement, you know, my watch, I look at it, and that's one of the few times I looked at it, and it's like telling me I'm mile 49. You know, I'm like, I'm going to kick it into gear. You know, I got 1 more mile because – and the ridge runners, their races are accurate. I mean, if they say it's 50 miles, it's 50 miles. It's not 50.2. It's everything's measured perfectly. So I'm like, I'm going to kick it into gear. See, I kick it into gear for being that late in the race, and mile 50 hits. And I'm like,
where's everybody?
I can't even see the finish line yet, you know? So yeah, it actually ended up being 50.8 miles with all the hop arounds I had to do. So,
well, as far as the aid stations go, well, all right. So you're at the 50.8. At any point, did you have any sort of mental struggles through this whole 50 miler where you started questioning things, you know, questioning your training, questioning whether you were going to finish, question whether you're going to feel as good as you are, like anything going through your mind?
No, not once during the race. And in fact, I wish I could remember this guy's name, and I can't for the life of me. He's on the board of the Ridge Runners, but I crossed the finish line, you know, and got my little trophy, my medal and stuff. And he goes, dude, I saw you all over this course and not once did you look tired. And I was like, dude, it worked today. I mean, like I said, a little foot issue. And I would honestly say in fact, I think I hit you on Voxer, didn't I? Like mile.
You were at 40, like, you were high 40s.
40s, yeah. I don't think I was high 40s, but I was probably like right after 40.
Yeah, maybe 41.
Or something, wasn't I? Yeah, somewhere around there. And I'm like, you know, it's just now 8 hours, maybe something like that, somewhere in that ballpark. And I'm like, I got 12. I said, I can walk it in if I have to, you know, that's, you know, there's enough time to walk it in. So I pretty much knew I was at least going to finish at that
point. Right. Well, let's go. I want to go back to the aid stations. I mean, were they, mm-hmm. how were they? Were they all the same as far as what they would have at them, or were some staggered to where some were maybe just, you know, a little bit of hydration, maybe a little bit of food, or were they fully stocked?
I'll tell you what, all the aid stations and all the volunteers were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. There was one aid station, and if any of them are listening to this podcast, Aid Station Delta, they brought it, man. They had club stereo speakers out there pumping nice. The jams. They had signs leading up to it that had, you know, free beer, free Jello shots, free beef jerky, and they had it rocking. But yeah, they were all good. Almost all of them had tailwind, which is what I planned on running with. So that was nice. I didn't have to pack a hydration bladder, and I just took one bottle with me in my vest.
And then you could just refill.
And the aid stations were every 2.5 miles. There was one between 20 and 25. There was one unmanned water stop. So I just had a igloo cooler full of water. But so you had basically had a 5 mile joint. Right. That one time. Other than that, they were 2.5 miles.
So what they have? Did they have like a pre-mixed tailwind that you could just refill whatever you're using?
Yeah, they had a, you know, one of those igloo coolers full. Yeah. Most of them did. So yeah, that, you know, they had that water, Gatorade, soda. Delta had beer. You know, if you want Pabst Blue Ribbon, chips, M&Ms, peanut butter and jellies,
yeah.
Nice. Candies, fruits, whatever you wanted, they had. Just fantastic. In fact, at mile 40, when I hit aid station Delta again, and they're playing Getting Jiggy With It, so I'm coming down the trail doing a little dance. You know?
Nice, man.
And, yeah, I'm stopping, getting some food, and this guy they called Doc comes up behind me and starts spraying me down. You're looking a little red there. He's hosing me down with sunscreen. So, yeah, really, really enjoyable race. Definitely one to go to, even if you have to travel for it, because it's that good. And even though it's an out and back, it was not boring. The scenery is amazing, both out and back.
Well, that's good. That's definitely good to keep, you know, I mean, that's a long distance to be running on a boring route, yeah. if it were.
But I'm sold on the ultras, man. I love them. That's
great.
To do more. That's the way to run, you know.
Well, I'll soon be hitting my first one, so
dang right.
I can join.
You're going to be getting back. Oh, never run another damn marathon again.
Possibility, but
well, you know, and even last year at the Bass Pro Marathon, I might have said this to you. I don't remember, but I just remember. You know, I had a killer PR at that.
I know exactly marathon. What you said to me before that marathon. Do you want me to restate what you? Told me.
Well, let me see if we're on the same page.
Okay. You know, I don't know. I'm either gonna fun run or I'm gonna go. I'm not really sure if I'm gonna go all out. We'll see the morning of the race.
Well, I said that, but also when I when I got done, I was gonna go have dinner with my friend, and she's like, "Well, how is it? You know, how'd you enjoy it?" And I said, "You know, the only thing, because it was a perfect day. I mean, just perfect day." And I'm like, you know, the whole time waiting for the race to start, I'm thinking to myself, why am I wasting a perfect day on a stupid road race?
Well, I think the difference, though, I mean, you have a lot more, I think, opportunity right near you to get off the road, more so than Jason and I do. I mean, there's a lot of trail racing here, especially right. If you go about an hour and 20 minutes to what's Rochester, about an hour, 20 minutes, Jay, that area has a really big trail running scene. Mm. But I mean,
I don't mean that to sound like, oh, you run roads.
I get
mean,
it.
If that's your thing, that's awesome. But I mean, you know, once I got a taste on the trails, I definitely prefer getting off road.
No, I understand. I would definitely do it a lot more if I had the opportunity to do it. Well, so the tailwind worked. That's good. I want to ask you about that. The tailwind.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
I mean, I was going to ask you, you know, if you had GI issues, but it sounds like everything went, I mean, a perfect
day.
No,
I had no GI issues whatsoever. I didn't, you know, I didn't just use Tailwind. That was the majority of it. But I that beef jerky was really good.
Yeah, I heard about that from you.
Yeah, I think I had one peanut butter and jelly, and then usually I just picked some grapes or something like that. Oh, I did have one small bag of chips at one point just because chips sounded good. So
yeah, well, I'm sure the salt was a nice treat too. Yeah.
And yeah. I did take two gels during the race. And Sean, you and I were talking about it. Since I stopped, I used to just run with gels on the longer run, and I never had any issues with them. They were fine. And I would just take them and go. But since I stopped taking them all the time, now when I take them, it's like meth, man. I mean, I'm like within 15 minutes of taking a gel, like it's just like this huge surge of energy that goes through me. So I like to keep a couple on me if I'm, you know, I really want to get a burst of speed or I'm really right. starting to feel worn out.
Yeah, we did discuss that this week, and I said the opposite. Like, I don't ever really get like that. Jay, do you get like that when you take a gel? Like, do you get that burst of energy, or
you know, usually I don't notice it, but I did this past half. There was that one point when I was feeling low, but we'll get to that.
Right. Well, I mean, because I don't get that when Steve and I were talking this week, I was like, man, I don't get that. I just, you know, I take them to just kind of, I guess, maintain the energy going. So I don't get that low. Maybe, you know.
And I didn't get that when that's all I used was gels. It wasn't until I stopped using them and switched over to the Tailwind.
So you have that now sugar blast.
Now you're getting that huge blast of sugar.
Right.
And it really gives you some oomph.
Right. All right. Well, okay. So again, what was your perfect day, perfect scenario goal?
Well, my perfect day goal was 9 hours.
And what did you come in at?
I ended up running 9:07:44, I think. I think I said 42 before, but I think it was actually 44 seconds.
Dude, so that's
9 hours.
That's pretty damn close, man, that's to a perfect
and you know,
day.
I'll be honest. I couldn't have done better. There was about 30 seconds. And I'm not exaggerating, only about 30 seconds, I'm like, ah, man, shoot, I waited for my buddy to take a crap, you know, so that cost me 3 minutes. And, you know, I voxed Sean and texted the kids. There was 3 minutes. And, you know, I did this. I could have got the 9, but only about 30 seconds. And I was like, shut up, you know, you right. did great, man. Just shut up, you
know. Well, so, dude, congratulations on that, man. I'm really happy for you. Pretty I awesome. Know. Yeah. I mean, I know
yeah, I
the work
came
that you put in.
Seventh overall, I think is what my finishing place was. So I was happy with it.
Yeah. You should be happy with that, man. Your first 50 miler, you crushed it, bro.
God, the guy that won it did it in like 6 hours and some change.
Oh, whatever. Show off.
You know, like you prick. You know?
Yeah. No, but seriously, man, I mean, you worked your tail off for this. I know you questioned it at times with me, but I felt you trained really smart. You always run smart, I think. You know, you listen to your body. You're not like me where I say that and then I don't do the same. I'm trying to get more like that, to listen to my body. But I'm just really happy for you. I'm so glad you had just a wonderful experience, especially your first one, man. You did really well. You came within 6 minutes of your goal time, but you got seventh place and you accomplished something that, you know, we talk about how the marathon is and it is, I mean, the marathon is a huge deal and a lot of people can't do it. And now you just took it to a whole nother level. I mean, it really takes, I think it takes a certain kind of person to push themselves to not only prepare to do it, but to actually go through with something like that. It's that's great, well, great accomplishment.
And you know, anybody that's doing marathons and it's like, I can't run that far. Yes, you can. You know, it's like, I think I said earlier this week, it's a number in your head. Just it's different, you know?
Yeah.
And you probably like, cause it's just, it's so, you know, you get on, especially road races, you know, people are so serious and I'm guilty, you know, looking at my watch every 3 seconds and what's this split and I got to get that. And, you know, and out there it's just kind of, whatever. So.
Well, it's funny. I was listening back to our Voxer conversation that we had that day right after you finished. Or actually, I heard today the one where you when you sent me a message at mile 25 at the turnaround. And it sounded, I mean, one, like I said, you were in great spirits, but you could hear the aid station people cheering in the background. I didn't notice it the first time because I was out with the kids at, you know, we were outside and there was, you know, the noise. I couldn't, but today I had headphones and I was just like, man, it just sounds like he's having really a great time there and everyone's different atmosphere. I can't wait to experience that with my 50K.
You're going to enjoy it. Why did we came into the halfway point, you know, the guy Brian and I are running with Walk and go, whoo, we should do that again. And everyone just like looks at us, you know, and we're like, oh, yeah. But it was nice. And then I had a friend of mine and his wife ran. He ran the marathon. She ran the half. But, they were there waiting for me when I was done. So, I mean, they came back 5 hours later just to make sure I was okay to drive and, you know, everything. And I'm like, yeah, I think I can drive.
Yeah. Well, that's my last question about it is, one, you did drive home that night. I asked you, and you're like, I'm going home. And I'm like, Jesus, this guy's going to freaking sit in a car for an hour and a half after being, you know, on his feet for 9 hours. So you drove home. But how is it when you – like, how was it that night? Were you completely exhausted? Were you able to sleep, or were your legs jumpy, or
– Oh, no. I got home – to be honest, I don't remember much. I took a shower. Maybe I ate something. I don't remember, to be honest. And I went to bed. I think I was in bed by 8. And then I got up at 6. In fact, I remember you saying, yeah, what the hell are you doing up? Because I've said it before, we do a big Sunday breakfast. And my oldest son had to get to work. So I'm like, well, I can get up and make breakfast. And it was hard getting out of bed. I did manage to make breakfast. told my youngest to clean up, and I crawled back into bed. I was hurting Sunday. I did force myself to get out of bed around noon, and I went for a mile and a half walk with the dog. And I have a very old dog who's very slow now, so it worked out well for both of us walking. So I did that because I knew I needed to get up or I was really going to be in bad shape. So I did that, went home, went to bed early again. Monday, I had scheduled Monday off of work, but wasn't sure I was going to take it. Woke up Monday, and it hurt a little getting up and down, but not bad. When I was up, I was fine. When I was down, I was fine. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to take the day off. I scheduled it off. And by Tuesday, I was fine. And then I think I went for my first run again Thursday, I think.
It was shortly after, I remember.
I knew I said I wasn't going to run for a month, but...
Yeah, I know that was bull crap when you said that.
Well, know, that's what's funny is when I said that, I'm going to be honest, I was tired of running. That week or 2 weeks before the race, well, a month, I think I said it on the podcast. I was tired. I'm like, I've got to take a break or I'm just going to stop running altogether. And like as soon as the race was done, I mean... Yeah, Sunday I hurt, but Monday I had an urge to go run. I really wanted to run again because right. I'm like, I can just go run.
Well, and that's the thing. It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah. You're not training. I totally get that completely.
Yeah, and I think that's what it was. I was just so burnt out from I've got to run 10 today. I've got to run 10 tomorrow. I've got to, you know.
Yeah. My numbers haven't been as high, but yeah, this training cycle for the marathon. I'm at that point now where I'm just like, I need to run this race. I need to relax for a week or two, and then I need to train for the 50K. But you know, after that, I need to run for myself and get back to the way I used to be, where it was just, you know, I'm going out and run, and I'm going to pack a lunch, and I'll stop for 15-20 minutes, take some pictures, and not worry about it. You know,
exactly.
So,
but yeah, very very good experience. If you're in the area next, it's the last Saturday of every April, and you want a killer race to run, Frisco Railroad Run, even if you got to travel a little bit, well worth it.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to everyone. I'm talking to the kidding. People, man.
I'm just kidding, because I did ask
listeners, man.
I did ask you. I was like, so do you think someone could do that in marathon training? Wink, wink. Maybe I'll come out next year.
I think you could. With the miles you've been putting in, you'd be ready for it.
Well, maybe next year. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Well, good stuff, man. Glad it was. Yeah. Glad it was a good experience.
Now I got to find 100K. So.
All right. Well, like I said, we've all been doing a lot of running and like some big accomplishments for Jason and myself.
I know, man. Said we've dubbed you the Quickster.
You have.
Yeah, it'll catch on. It'll catch on.
Yeah, I mean, I had my first 5K of the year, and that was a good experience. It was a nerve-wracking experience, yeah. But
that was just a gentle, lazy jaunt for you, right?
It was, you know, a little yes. little trot through the roses. it was a great turnout. It ended up. My goal, I think I might have said that in the beginning of the year when we were talking about the goals for 2016, was my goal was to get a sub-20 by the end of this year. I really wanted to try to accomplish that. And I felt that it was going to be something, you know, obtainable, because last year my PR was a 2016. So I thought, you know what, after by the fall, you know, maybe I'll be there. And I ended up hitting that this 5K, my first one of the year. I ended up getting a 19:57. So just barely a sub 20, but man, I don't care.
That still counts.
Man. Yes, that is a sub.
The 19:59 is a sub 20. Okay,
19:59:59 is sub 20. I don't care.
Yep. Said you killed it.
Yeah, I had a good race. Met up with some of the guys, the Zahn brothers, Bill and Glenn were there. My buddy Mike Rojalo, who I ran the Heroes Run marathon with and I've done numerous long runs this cycle with. We all met up. Jay couldn't make it. He was actually on a training run that day, I think. Weren't you, Jay?
Yeah, I think that was my 16 miler that day.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, so I got to be honest. I don't think I would have hit that sub 20 if those guys weren't there. Bill and I lined up together. We left out together. I kind of this is going to be kind of a trend with my two races. I went out too much. I was a little disappointed in my execution. I went out too fast. I looked down at my watch and I swear I was running a 5 minute something pace, and I was just like, "Whoa, what are you doing? Like, slow down."
You can't keep that for the whole
distance. Yeah, yeah. So I slowed that down. Bill, you know, shortly got back with me, and we ran. I don't want to say we ran 3 miles together, but we ran probably a good 2¾ of that race together. Wow. And pushing each other in a good way. I mean, him and I talked a lot of smack leading up to it, but when it came down to it, we started, it was definitely like, let's just do this. Let's have a good race, you know? And right. He ended up getting a 19:50, and it was his first sub 20 as well. So definitely, I think we both had agreed that if we wouldn't have ran that way together, yeah. I don't think either one of us would have hit that sub 20 that day.
You know, 5Ks are so damn tricky. I mean, because, you know, you can't win it in the first mile, but you can sure lose it in the first mile. You know, I mean, that's, you know, you said you went out too fast, and yeah, that pace sounds like definitely too fast for you, but
I definitely
a whole lot slower and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of room to yeah. play with in the
there's no makeup room, you know.
Right, exactly. But like you said, you can definitely lose it in that first mile. And I mean, I knew pretty quick, like, to kind of bring it back in. But and not to make excuses, I mean, Bill ran a great race, but I definitely think that played part of it. In that, I think I could have hung with them till the end, maybe finished a second or two behind him. More, I mean, 7 seconds isn't a lot, but it, to us running, it is. You know, yeah. I wish I would have just throttled back a little bit. But I mean, it's like, really, can I can't be upset. You know what I mean?
No, you achieved what you're after.
So. Yeah. So, so that was that. And then we ran the half Grand Island half marathon last Saturday. Jason was there again. Basically, the whole crew of guys were there.
Yeah, and you kind of blazed through that one too, didn't you?
Well, Jason, I mean, let's get to Jason. And
you both had PRs, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty sweet race. I didn't set out for it. Did you set out for a PR, though?
Yeah, I had a a game. I had a game plan in place, and let's recap your end of that. I mean, because yeah, you went into that. You were being very, very conservative about it, and I was like, Jay, I think you, you know, I didn't push you to go extreme or anything. I just said, dude, I think by based on your runs lately, I think you're shortchanging yourself a little bit.
I didn't want to agree with you for that statement, but after I did this half marathon, I will say that I think I am shortchanging myself because my, you know, these long runs, my training runs, they're starting to pay off, you know? I mean, all of my pacing is getting better. And, I'm finding out I can push myself a little more. And, you know, these last few runs that 18 miler you were on with me, I had that strong finish at the end. You know, and that's something I've never been able to do. I usually just, I don't know what it is. I can't kick it up for the last whatever. I just end up just finishing blah, you know. And these last few training runs, I've been able to just, I don't know, pull this energy from somewhere and just go insane.
Yeah, because we did do, well, I didn't do 18. You did 18. I think I ended up doing.
You did 14 or something?
14, yeah. I met you out. But yeah, I mean, you had a little burst at the end of that one. And I was like, holy shit, where'd that come from? That's unlike Jason. And, but as far as the race, you went out, you wanted to start with a 10 minute pace.
Yeah, like a 10:05, just because that's what my training runs are for that distance, you know? So I figure I'm going to stay in my comfort zone, you know, and that was my goal. But as everybody knows, when you get to a race, your plans almost go out the window because you're in the moment and, you know, you're feeling good or it's a perfect day. And then next thing you know, you're running the whole thing or you're at a faster pace than you want. And you're like, holy shit, you know.
Yeah. So you did, you ended up pushing a little bit. I mean, your overall pace was a 9:53. You definitely went out quicker than you had anticipated. How were you feeling that whole time?
I felt probably the best I've felt for a race, for that race in particular, than I felt in the past. You know, I felt good the whole time. There was maybe one spot where for about 3 minutes I did not feel good, but that was, you know, the sun was coming out. That was when we turned direction. So the wind was there. The sun was out. I was sweating. You know, it was a bad 3 minutes, but then I was due for a gel. So I took the gel, did a little hydration, and then I'd say within those 2-3 minutes, the wave passed over me and I felt good again and I picked up my pace and, you know, chugged on. It was good.
Yeah. You came in really strong too. I mean, you had a nice burst, at that end. Again, something that is completely uncharacteristic of the way you would normally run a race or long run or something. I was like, holy crap. Cause you were like getting real close to coming underneath that 2:10 mark.
I know. I figured, you know, in my head the whole time I was thinking, you know what, let's last mile, at least the last mile. Let's kick it up. So I'd probably kicked it up probably the last 2 miles, but then the last mile I kicked it up even more. And then last, what, 200 meters or so, just when you're around that curve, you can see the clock, you can see the finish line. I started in an all-out sprint. I had to take my hat off and carry it. I was running so fast.
Dang.
I actually thought that I was going to fall headfirst into the pavement as I was running.
Well, that would have been epic. Now, did you just rely on aid stations, or did you carry a handheld, or...
You know, I did.
On the last,
I did a handheld, and then I supplemented with the aid stations because I don't know. I think I may need more water than most. I feel that way. It could be just what I'm thinking, but I would have a water at an aid station, and then, you know, next mile I'd be sipping out of the handheld. So it worked out well. I have no complaints about that.
You said you had some gels. Do you think you're that helped you this year?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Last year I had, I think, two gels. I took the first one at the halfway point, and then I saved the last one for, maybe the last 3 miles. And if you remember last year, I had the cold shakes after the race, the shivers.
He was in rough shape.
I felt ill. I didn't want to walk. I mean, it was not good.
So is it making you change anything for the marathon? Like, you were planning to do the marathon a certain way, and has this half said, well, maybe I should actually look at doing it this way, whether it be hydration, nutrition, gear, or anything like that?
Yeah, I think the nutrition end of it I have down. I'm kind of mimicking, what Sean had talked about before, where every 3 miles or so you're doing some type mm-hmm. of nutrition, and I figured I'd sample that plan, and so far that's working good for me. And I tweak it a little bit. I actually take a little more on my training runs. I take a little more at the halfway point. I'll do like a double nutrition, I'll call it. And that seems to – I don't know if that's just breaking it up, and it just seems to work for me. Gives me that extra oomph, to kind of get the back end done. So I'm gonna continue that for the full. But hydration-wise – what I did on the half was the handheld, but that's not going to be enough, I think, for the full. I think I want to do the bladder pack, the hydration pack, or something.
Well, they have are the aid stations pretty consistent at Buffalo? Or
yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, that's all I used last year was a handheld, but I'm going with my pack this year as well. Oh, yeah. And they were really good at the aid stations. A lot of times. And more the, I don't want to say later aid stations, but the first few I just kind of went by. They're very congested in the beginning, the first few miles. After that, I did notice that a lot of times there'd be not only people with cups, Gatorade, water, but there'd also be people with pitchers of water. So it was nice. I could just unscrew the top of my handheld, and someone would just, I can remember this guy just going, "Come here, buddy, I got it." And he just, filled up my handheld, and I was gone out of there. But
yeah, I'm the same way. I have to have just enough to get me through those first two or three aid stations till things break up.
Yeah, and the marathon, it's just way, way too congested. I remember that at Buffalo last year, going through the first one, going, "Oh my God, that is a lot of cups on the ground." Yeah. It was absolutely crazy, and it starts thinning out as you get through, further into the race. And also after the halfway point, a lot of the runners that you're with kind of go through the end shoots and you just keep going. But, I think it's good that he's trying the 3 mile thing. Is it a science? No, but it's what has been working for me. Jason's tried it. I know a couple of my buddies, have tried it. They're experimenting with Tailwind now, getting away from it, but they had been doing that. And Jason says maybe I need a little bit more water. You guys know, and listeners have heard me, that's one thing that can really kind of tick me off is when people do judge that. And there was actually a situation at the half, at the lineup, my buddy Glenn, we all had our vests on, except, Jason had his handheld, but we all had our vests on, our hydration vests, and he had both his bottles in there, and some guy turned to him and looked at his bottles and was like, "Think you got enough water?" I was just like, what a, I hate that.
It's individual. I was training for my very first marathon. An old army buddy of mine was coaching. Maybe I said this before, and I'd always get, "Hey, I read this online and someone told me this." And he goes, "When it comes to running advice, everything everybody says is absolutely true and it's absolute BS at the same time." And it makes sense because
I know what you're saying, because it's true to that person, but BS to you or whatever. But I think it's good that people, read and find things, because then you kind of get to experiment. But I don't.
Try it. See if it works.
I just don't. I don't like the judging of you're taking gels and a half. You're taking what? Who cares? You know what I mean? If you are tough enough to get through a half without even taking the water, then more power to you. But don't give someone shit because, you know, and Glenn said the guy was kind of joking. But to me, it's like, you know what? If you say that, you're thinking that. And it just kind of ticked me off. But I'll tell you, after the race, Jason and I even said, like, holy crap, man, this is like a total night and day from last year as to how we felt, because I felt pretty good. Jason was told, I mean, last year, Jason was, he was in rough shape last year.
It was really bad. Yeah.
He was in rough shape last year. So what was your old PR for the half, and what was your finish time this year?
My time last year, I think was 2:23. And that was even down from the year before. So that was cool then. But this time I cracked in at 2:10, 2:10.06.
Man, that's a great PR.
That's huge.
I'm thinking shaving 12 minutes. That's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, that's a great PR.
That's really good. That's really good. And the way you felt after is, you know.
I felt 100% fine after, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome right there.
And that's a sign you're training correctly.
Oh,
you know, you shouldn't be destroyed after a race if you've been training right.
And, you know, what I kind of mentioned to Jason at one point, I think it might have been on the long run or something, running is individual and your goals are individual, and you sign up for certain races, the marathon as an example, for different reasons with different goals. And what I told Jason was, you know, next year, if he decides to do it, or if he wants to do Heroes this year, you know, something later on, he'll take this experience of this marathon and the training that he's done. I mean, I'll take the heat. I've given Jason some crap the past couple episodes on his training, you know, or what I had basically called him out as his lack of training. He hit the longer miles, but not the base mileage. And, you know, my thing is with him is if you had even more miles on your feet, man, I think you would have broke two. You know what I mean? And that's where you kind of have to decide, or not decide, but just kind of go, you know what? I don't care. I'm cool with 2:10, or, you know what? Yeah, maybe next time I'll put in some more base mileage, a little more time on my feet. And cause I kind of wouldn't mind breaking that two hours.
Exactly. And I tell you what, doing as well as I did this race makes me want to further train to beat that, you know,
I wanted to hear.
I was, not that I never thought I could do that, what I did this year before, but now that I see like what this training has done, I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know,
it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good. I mean, like I said, we're all different about it. I know I'm obsessed with this marathon this year with my training, but I'm not like, it's not a bad thing. It's just I'm focused. You know, I've seen what my training has done. I mean, I honestly don't do a whole lot of speed work. I admit it. My speed work is to do maybe very rarely throw in a tempo run, which I don't like doing. But my progressive runs, you know, I've always said that's my favorite way to run. I love running progressive. That's like my speed work. Lately, I've done a little bit more, but I honestly think that the mileage I have this year, I mean, I've got pretty high mileage for me. I mean, I think that's
a lot of miles.
Got me some speed as well as just the mileage. So, but yeah, this, as far as I go with this half, again, I did PR. I'm very happy with the end result. I was pissed off with my execution. I went into this thing out of my comfort zone. The way I like to run, I like to go in, obviously in a half or something, I want to go in, somewhat aggressive, you know, and I'm not going to treat it as just a leisurely long run, but I like to finish my long runs fast. Like that's how I like to finish off. And, I kind of went out too aggressive, started out, you know, like a 7 minute pace, 7:12 pace, which is where I kind of wanted to end. But again, it's hard to get upset with that when my last PR, pretty sure was like a 1:47 last year. I ended up with a 1:39.03 this year.
Yeah, that's a nice PR too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I can't be upset with it. I was a little upset with my execution. I wish I would have stayed, but you know what? I learned that, okay, stay in that comfort zone, run hard, but run it the way that I normally would. So, you know, but it was, Jason, I just realized that you had your heart rate monitor on. I didn't even see that when I looked at your, run until now. But you didn't mention anything about that. I know for me, and the brothers, we all had some issues with heart rate and stuff that,
Dude, I was picking up somebody else's.
Oh, that's right.
That was not mine.
All right. Well, then that explains it. Okay. Because I
never heard of that before.
Oh, God, man. We were all doing it. Like Bill was standing next to me picking up my heart rate monitor. I think Glenn was picking up somebody at one point. But that is, and just briefly to touch on it, I mean, it's kind of a little mental because I look down at my heart rate and I'm at mile one. Now, I knew I was going a little aggressive, but my heart rate was at like my 5K heart rate, you know, and I was not running
Uh-oh.
So I'm already thinking like, oh shit, you know, like I can't let this get any higher. That kind of wears on you. So, but again, overall happy with the end result. I just wish I would have stuck with the game plan to a degree, but I'm kind of glad that it was a learning experience. And I didn't blow up. You know what I mean? That was the big fear, is if I go out a little aggressive, I'm going to blow up at the end. But that is something.
So is that going to keep you from doing that at the marathon?
Yeah, marathon. I went into this too knowing that this is not, however, whatever happens with Grand Island, is not going to affect my mental state as far as Buffalo goes.
Well, that's how I was kind of asking. Is that kind of what you learned doing this half, that you really going to have to watch how fast you go out? Because, you know, you got to hit that 3:30 for the marathon.
Yeah.
That we're all betting on.
We
won't like you anymore if you don't hit 3:30.
You won't be our friend. Yeah, I don't even want to talk to you if you don't hit that.
Yeah. No, I'm going into Buffalo with the 3:45 still as the goal, and if I can do better, so be it. But I have to go into that the way I feel comfortable. You know what I mean? If I wanted to go for that 3:30, then I'd have to go in a little bit more aggressive at the beginning, and that's not how I like to run. So,
right.
You know, 3:45 has been the set goal from the beginning. I don't want to go, well, my training runs have been showing that I could potentially do a 3:35. I don't want to go in like that. I want to go in going, I feel comfortable running at that 3:45 pace. Yeah. Now, if the last 4 miles or whatever, or last, you know, 6-7 miles, I'm feeling really good, I want to try to chip away a little bit, then so be it. But 3:45 has been the goal. I gotta go in and stick to that. So, that's that. But overall, happy with the results. I put it this way. I'm super happy with my PR. I'm super psyched with Jason's PR. And like I said, I know that, you know, I think this was something that he had to see himself, like, oh shit,
yeah.
I can get some payoff with it. Cause I talk about it all the time cause I'm seeing it. You know what I mean? And now that he's seeing it, it's exciting to think, all right, you know, maybe Jay, you know, whether it be another half or another marathon afterwards, he can maybe, again, doesn't have to get as super focused or super strict or anything like that, but go, okay, I see what happened from this work. Now let me put a little bit more work into it and then see this kind of result in it. You know, that's kind of exciting for me, and I'm happy. I was really happy with his race. It sounds corny and cheesy, but I was really proud of him, man. When I seen him come in, look, I've seen Jason come in the race, and not to bag on him, but he's never finished like that before. He comes in.
I'm
usually with a face on it. And through the line of just don't even talk to me, leave me alone. I want to kill everybody. And this dude, when he took that burst at the end, it was pretty awesome. So good job to you, Jay.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's definitely a good job.
So that's pretty much it, I think, for this episode.
So we all had PRs, in other words.
We did.
You can name this episode the 3 PRs or something like that.
I could, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, you will.
But yeah, that's gonna, we're kind of running long this episode, but not too bad. But
no one is going to listen to this. It's 122.
But I mean, this was a big episode. I think all around, Stephen, again, super happy for you, dude. Great experience for you. I'm so glad it went well. I mean,
Yeah, me too, man. That was good work.
Yeah, hey, everyone gets a round of applause. You guys had some awesome racing going on too. So,
yeah, it's been a.
I just stayed on my feet for a long time. That's literally all it was.
Oh man, I think it's a little bit more than that, but yeah, definitely a good month since our last episode. On a positive note, good job on everyone running. You, Stephen, you have the Moab. That's your next thing coming up. I mean, I know you're kind of playing with the idea of maybe a possible 50K.
There is a race on June 4th called the War Eagle in Arkansas, and they have a 25K and a 50K. I think they might have a 10K too. And I wasn't going to do it, but this is the only time you can run these specific trails. They're not open to the public.
Okay.
So you have to do it during the race. And I haven't signed up yet, and I don't know. So if I do it, it's going to be a last spur of the moment thing.
Right.
And I don't know if I'll do the 25 or the 50, but it'll be a fun run either way. I won't go racing.
Right.
So.
Well, we'll know by the next episode.
Yeah, you'll know by the next episode.
Whether or not you did
and
that.
And then it's Moab is the next.
And that's in August,
big
right?
Race for me. That's November.
Oh, November.
So I'll start training in August. Yeah. So it's just going to be, I'm just running for me until August.
I like that.
Sweet.
I like that.
No paces, no set distances, whatever I want to do, that's what I'm going to do.
That's good. I mentioned on my other show, Negative Splits, that I'm looking forward to August. Not that I want to get through the marathon and the 50K, but I am looking forward to August to where I can just do that, run for me. Just go out and know that, you know what? I'm not trying to hit a mileage this week or this or that. I'm just going to go out and do my thing. So
I plan on being the slowest person on Strava.
I doubt
is my goal.
I doubt that's going to happen, but you go ahead and try that. As a matter of fact, why don't you try and be the lowest mileage too? You held that top spot way too many times.
I might be there. I'd like to maintain 25 to 30 miles a week average, maybe a little more some weeks. Who knows? Whatever.
Yeah. We'll see what I'll be keeping an eye on it as well. Other people I know. Also by the next episode, Jason and I will have ran the Buffalo Marathon, Jason's first marathon. So,
absolutely terrified.
That's
good. You'll do fine, man. Just don't think about it too much.
Like Steven said, it's just a number.
Just a number. Just go do it.
What happens, happens.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's gonna be a good day. Hopefully, we get some decent weather. I would like to have some unseasonably cooler weather with no wind or rain.
Yes. So I'll take that.
Anybody listening can make that happen. You know, that would be great. We'll put that order in. But definitely looking forward to it, man. I know for me, I'm at that point, Stephen, that you said where I'm just like, I'm tired. I'm tired.
Don't want to run for a while.
Yeah. You know, I I'm in taper now. I mean, I did do a workout this week, testing out marathon pace again, but I mean, there's a chance I may have a 5K coming up. But I don't know. I'm my left side has been a little sore. My IT band area, my hamstrings been a little sore. So I'm kind of leaning towards I probably won't do it just because I need to be really fresh for this, but there's a slight possibility. But looking forward to Buffalo. I mean, this is what I've been working for since January 4th when I got back from surgery and was able to run. It's been all about this. So I'm definitely ready and want to see what this training cycle has done for me. So looking forward to the next episode. It's good.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait to hear how it goes.
Me too, because by the next episode, my marathon will be done.
Yep. It will be. And then I'm going to ask you the question. So, Jay, do you think you'll do another?
Sign up for the 50K.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's gonna wrap this episode up, guys. If you want to contact the show, questions, comments, whatever, you can send us an email, theaveragerunnerpodcast@gmail.com. We do have a voicemail number. Call that at any time you want, 716-224-6478-6. Strava, check us out. We're all on Strava, as well as the Average Runner Podcast Strava Club. You can join that. It's open to anybody. It's just a fun thing. It kind of, you know, what ticks me off is that Strava hasn't gotten to put that on the app yet. You can look at clubs, but it doesn't give you the listings and the rankings and all that. That's, you can only do it on the PC, and that's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun for me to look at.
Yeah, you can't post pictures from the PC, so I haven't figured that one out yet either.
Really?
You got to do it from the app.
They need to get their act together. But
and flipping Strava.
Yeah, and lastly, iTunes. If you haven't, we would really appreciate it if you could go over, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, you know, help us move up in the rankings, let other people find the show. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. So, but that's going to wrap it up. Great show, guys. Very happy for all of us.
Definitely.
So that's going to wrap it up. And so until next time, thanks for listening.
Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.